And voila, you know, I think it was close to 40 iterations. And for those people listening, how you go about doing this when you're working with a distillery is essentially you have a lot of meetings, you talk through a lot of flavor notes of exactly what you're looking for, you have a ton of fails before you find your winner.
Benvenuti a Ciao Bella. I'm your host, Erica Firpo. For the past 20 years, I've made my home in Rome, where I've worked as a journalist contributing to publications including Afar, Washington Post, Lonely Planet, and Travel and Leisure. I love sharing the stories of Italy's pioneering creators, and I'm bringing these stories directly to you on Ciao Bella. Every week, I'm joined by contemporary artists, heritage artisans, designers, culinary experts, innovative aesthetes, and more. At the crossroads of evolution and tradition, the past and the future, they are working and creating to define and redefine 21st century Italy. Join me as we see Italy through their eyes. A few months ago, I was scrolling through Instagram when I came across Dolladira, a profile for an Italian aperitivo. I'm a sucker for good design and gorgeous lettering, so it makes sense that I fell in love with the logo, a vintage font with a flared A, even before taking a sip. I did a little research and discovered Meredith Erickson, the person behind Dolladira. Meredith is an award-winning food and travel writer and an alpine expert who decided to make a better bitters. Join me and Meredith for a chat about mountains and aperitivi.
I'd seen alpine cooking when it came out, and I don't even think I remember, like, I'm sorry, I didn't look at the author of it, but I'd seen alpine cooking and I thought I think I was also really attracted to the photos and the, you know, how it looked. And then at some point, Dolladira came across my feed, my Instagram feed. And I was like, because I am like a big fan of typography, Italian typography. I constantly take pictures of typography, and I just saw the way, you know, the slant, the one on top of the other, and I was like, what is this? And then I saw the shape of the bottle. I was like your biggest cheerleader from day one, and I hadn't even tried it.
Thank you.
And I saved the bottle.
Well, we'll have to get you more bottles.
But I just thought the bottle is so beautiful. It feels so good. I mean, I'm a collector of random things, but that's a beautiful bottle. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know, this is really cool. Like, I was like, to me, it just spoke to the things that I like, you know? So I immediately sent an email to someone and I was like, I really want to try this. Is it available in Italy yet? Because I couldn't figure out where you were, you know, like, I think when it came across my feed, it's probably coming across like the American side of my stuff. So I was like, oh, it must be marketing in the US. And so I wrote and I was really persistent because I was like, I want to see what this is. And then I was like, oh my goodness, it's the alpine cooking person. That's so funny. And I was really, really excited. So, you got me on the looks. Like, I'm superficial. I was like, this is really cool. And then I finally tried it, and I tried it just like cold and over ice, which I really liked. It's funny because normally I'm not, like, I find a lot of the bitters, I'm not going to say which ones, but a lot of the botanical bitters or whatever they're called, they have too much sugar in it for me. Like, it's a mix of like too much sugar and being, aspro, like being, bittery at the same time. And I can't take those two tastes together. I like them separately. Sure. But I loved Dolladira, and I love the rhubarb.
I wish everybody was like you, you know, I wish that we could rely
like on that. Was like, I love red and I love vintage bottles and I love lettering.
And you live in Italy and you know the Dolomites, like, and you understood the references. I know you're based in Rome and now I'm based in Milan. But when I was writing Alpine Cooking between 2016 and actually, let's back that up, 2014, and when it came out, 2019, I was like bopping all over the Alps, but mostly I was based in the Dolomites.
Specifically, what brought you to the Dolomites?
Well, so To back it up even further, I sold the idea of Alpine cooking in 2013 because I had just, you know, I had written a couple of co-authored the Joe Beef books. You know, I started the restaurant Joe Beef with those guys and was working there from 2005, 2006 until 2011. And then, you know, I had a great relationship with my editor, Julie Bennett, and the publisher of 10 Speed Press, which is now part of the Random House group, Penguin Random House. And they were, you know, always kind of checking in with me, like, what are you into now? Like, what are you, you know, I was like, I just came back from Lech, Austria, and I just ate so incredibly, and I drank so well at this restaurant at altitude. And then I realized that in Austria, all across the Alps, that these little huts, these refugios are like, you know, dotted, like thrown into the snow, like little chestnuts across the mountain. And there's just so much to discover there. And they were like, do you want to do this book? And the answer, of course, was yes. But as you can imagine, with kids and with the life that you have going on, you can only do that kind of project when you're solo. Because you're just, you know, I was constantly traveling literally for close to 5 years. And so it was a perfect time, you know, now that I have kids, looking back, it was a really wonderful time, because all I did was eat, drink in the mountains, live the mountains, write about the Alps, live and basically out of everywhere between France, Austria, Switzerland, obviously Bavaria, and the Italian Alps, I decided Italy. I decided that because, I mean, what's not to love, as you know, but then also now that we live here, we know the things that maybe we don't love. But I decided I loved Alta Badia. I really connected with a few people there, and I chose to use that as my HQ. And then because it is about 3.5 hours, almost 4 hours from Milan, you know, I've told everyone the reason I chose Milan as my home and to raise my kids is I don't think there is a better geographically located city in the world than Milan. In 2 hours, you're in the Mediterranean. In 2 hours, you're in Venice on the Adriatic. In an hour and a half, you're in the Engadine. You know, in 2 hours, you're in Florence. You can't beat it. So I essentially started spending a lot of time at Alta Badia. I was basically decided to throw down and invest in Milan as my home base, because I am Canadian. I'm from Montreal. And while I was writing this book, I came across this rhubarb elixir drink near Alpbach in Austria, and I included it in the book. And there was this beautiful woman wearing a, you know, a crisp like pink and black dirndl with, you know, embroidered elderflower. So she's in the photo. Anyway, she on that day decided to do fresh rhubarb from the stock, a clear alcohol. We chose gin, and then like a fresh elderflower cordial. And so I included that recipe in the book, and it just became kind of a phenomenon. Like, you know, at the beginning, like once a week, someone from like Atlanta would write me about this. And then like it became daily, someone would write me about this recipe. And I was just like, you know, it wasn't a problem with getting work. I was always offered to do, you know, my own books, and luckily my books sell. So I wasn't having a problem, but I just decided that I wanted to kind of switch paths, switch lanes a little bit. And during COVID, I was speaking with Richard Betts. And Richard Betts, for those who are listening and who don't know, he's kind of this alchemist, kind of a magical guy. Richard was in that documentary Psalm. He is one of the guys who passed the Master Psalm test the first try. I think there were either nine or 14. It's like one of those numbers. And Richard was one of them. So when it comes to liquid, there's no one better. And, you know, Richard and I both come from hospitality, and our connection was Bobby Stuckey, because I wrote Bobby's book about Friuli. Bobby is a very famous restaurateur from Boulder, Colorado, and Bobby and Richard are best friends. So Richard knew about my book, and he's one of these crazy yes men who just bought my book and along with his partner, Carla, like went everywhere I suggested and was like, this is my favorite book ever. And I was pregnant. I had a baby. COVID was happening. And I saw that Richard had started Tequila Comos. And he started a company called CKBG. And he wanted to have other liquids in the portfolio. Now I am a tequila person. But before, I knew nothing about tequila.
I'm a tequila person too.
You are a tequila person? Okay, well, we need to send you. So the Rosa Reposado, one of Comos, this beautiful entry they have. I think it's like their third exercise in tequila there. If you do a Rosa and a Doladera, I think we call it Rosa Dira cocktail, it's incredible. So strangely, all these people are now writing me like,
I think I tried to do that, but not with just a tequila that I had at home. I believe I tried.
Okay,
because I was like, I gotta do something. Bad. I think I did a Negroni. I mean, I was trying everything.
Okay, so a lot of people are writing me being like, don't judge me, which of course I never would, but like, this goes great with tequila. And they're right, it does. So check out Comos Rosa Reposado. Tequila is incredible. And they are now having distribution in Italy like early this year. So you'll be able to get your hands on it soon. Anyway, I saw what Richard was doing and Richard knew what I was doing. And I was like, this is nuts, but do you kind of want, like, I'm not happy with my happy hour. I'm not happy. Like, it's weird to me that I care so much about which champagne producers I'm drinking and which white wine producers I'm drinking, but then I'll like, you know, knock back a couple Negronis full of chemicals. And like, just to be clear, I'm not like a preacher of the natural wine movement. That's not what I'm talking about. It was just kind of more like knowledge. And I was thirsty for something I couldn't find on the market. And so I was like, what if I bottled that drink? But instead of like, you know, just take, like, I actually distill it and we make it on our own. And so Richard and I decided that we wanted to do this project. I thought he was going to be like, you're nuts. But I brought this idea to him. He's like, I'm in, like, let's sign this NDA. Let's go. And then I met his business partner, Joe Marchese. So Doladera is CKBG and myself. So CKBG is owned by Joe and Richard, and then three of us working on this together with our team. And so we contacted Jean-Marc Rouleau, who, if you love Burgundy wine, you would know that name. He's one of the world's most famous Burgundian winemakers. And he's like, you should work with my distillery in Dijon. So we knew that we wanted to do, because I'm based in Italy, I love Alta Badia. We knew that we wanted to take ingredients from the Dolomites, distill in the best winemaking region in the world, and create the world's freshest aperitivo. And when I say fresh, I mean exactly what you were talking about at the beginning. No sugar, or very, very, very little sugar, and no additives. So no chemicals, and for it to actually have a bit of a salinity. So that's where the rosemary comes in. What is Doladera? It's rhubarb stalk, fresh. A lot of Amaros use the root of the bark of rhubarb. We don't. We use actually the fresh stalk. Plum, gentian, rosemary, and 60% less sugar than the leading guys. And voila, you know, I think it was close to 40 iterations. And for those people listening, you know, how you go about doing this when you're working with a distillery is essentially you have a lot of meetings. You talk through a lot of flavor notes of exactly what you're looking for. You have a ton of fails before you find your winner. And so after close to 2 years, I guess a year and a half, we found our winner, you know, and then it's, what does this thing look like? What is this thing called? And what does this thing look like? And, you know, being a Montrealer, I'm very lucky that my best friend is Willow Perron, who has Perron Rodinger. So Willow Perron and Brian Rodinger work on type and everything design out of their LA office. And it was a no-brainer that I would have them design the bottle with me. So they do like Rihanna's shows. They've done Gia, the non-alcoholic brand. They've done a couple of other wines. They do Stussy, the clothing company. So I think you were, you know, it's very helpful when you work on the design with someone when you've known them for 2 decades. You know, like I didn't have to like draw a mood board for Will. He's like known me my entire life. And they know exactly what I like. They know the look of Alpine Cooking. They know what's already out there. They know how irreverent we wanted to be. You know, we knew that our bottle, we wanted to have pieces around, like, you know, going up around the bottle. And then we talked to Donna Arbib, who's an incredible, you know, she works in Murano. She's a New York artist, but she works in Murano doing glass blown vases and beautiful objects. So she like helped us with the bottle too. So that was really like a great collaboration. And then the name Doladira, which is the Dolomites plus and Rosadira, which is when the sun is setting and the pink, basically the sun hits off of the quartz, the minerality.
That beautiful pink, like it looked like magic. Yeah. But you've had some great press, but I have to tell you, I think I saw it before any press came out. It was literally my Instagram feed, and I just saw an image and I was like,
I want that.
I love the font. I was like, that font is insane. And I love it. And I love the slant. And I saw the bottle and I wasn't sure if the bottle was actually going to be
ridged.
But it's hard, you know, when people are just listening there, the bottle is not a smooth bottle. It's Rubido. It's got the ridges and it's like, I was so excited to get it because I was hoping that it would feel the way I saw it. And then I saw the thing in airmail, and I've seen some other pieces about it. And then I saw your gorgeous, your Instagram advertising campaign. It's great. You know, I saw like Tennessee and the boot, and I was like, that's so cool.
Thank you.
And I just saw New Year's Eve. What was it? Times Square?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm your fan. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I am your fan because I just think you have bottled up everything good, like from the look, the type, the feel, the bottle, and the taste. You know, it's great.
Thank you. That means a lot.
I can't tell you how happy I am because I do. I like to drink a lot. I mean, I like to have a nice alcoholic beverage. And I think I got a little tired of. I started to notice with me that the amount of sugar that's in like different aperitivi, like a spritz and things like that, it was making me feel bad a day later, you know?
Oh yeah. You can't have, I mean, that's the killer of two Negronis. It's sure the booze isn't helping, but it's really the sugar that's the killer.
It's nuts. And it's like, and so I kind of was just like a little bit saddened. And then I tried, and then I was so excited because I read a little bit about the Ladira. I reached out to your PR team at the time or whoever. I sent a little message. I was like stalking. Yeah. And then I tried it and I was like, oh, and you know, and like I said, I tried it over ice. Like I was, and I'm not the kind of person that would be like, oh, I'm going to have a this over ice. Like I like a mixed drink. And I was like, I like this a lot.
I think a lot of people similar to you, what they're realizing is like, you know, if the big guys, you know, I think we can say whether it's Campari or Aperol or like Contratto bitters on, let's say they're a 1 on 10 in terms of like being able to pound it, like poundability. And then you have like, or let's say you have Whispering Angel, you know, at like a 10, what we're noticing is that people drink us closer to a rosé. And that's also that lack of sugar and that freshness that allows that, you know, and it's not viscous, Doladira, yeah. Like the others.
That's what I mean. It doesn't feel sticky. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it's not sticky. I mean, that's a very good indicator for a lot of bitters when you see that, like, how some of the caps become quite sticky and crystallized over time, like that sugar, like that's not a great sign. So just to go back to also what you were saying, we then in September opened New York and then Georgia and Tennessee followed quickly. And now we're in 9 states in the US. We're also now in the UK, and we're opening this month, France and Italy.
Ooh.
So
then I'll have a lot easier time getting a bottle.
You will. And also, Erica, I'm going to connect with you because I would love to know like your 6 places, your half dozen spots. You would love to see it in Rome. Okay. For example,
I can definitely give it to you off the top of my head. I can, That's a separate conversation. I could introduce you to a bunch of great bartenders who might have a lot of fun. I want to just tell people that are listening, I am a very visual person in the sense that I see something that I like that's pretty and I immediately gravitate towards it. It's a lot of fun to go to your Instagram page for Doladira, because I really love when every time that you've introduced a new state that you're in, how you're showing it. It's really clever. It's like, there's definitely a nice vintage vibe of like, you know, for people who like, sometimes I think about it, like, you know, remember people used to like collect patches for like their yeah. jean jackets and stuff or belt buckles, or is that the same company? Is that designed by the company that also did the font?
No, that's actually that's us in-house.
Really?
Yeah, that's us in-house working with our team. I mean, we took a lot of time. I think that this is, you know, just, this is really the first time. I mean, it's happened subconsciously, but I'm saying it aloud. I think because I historically am a storyteller and I come from the world of writing and of books, the thing that's always been key here is editorial and like our campaigns and our storytelling. So with Willow and Brian, when we started our story world, like, you know, creating, we have a book, a brand book that's going to be huge even after, you know, a couple of years. And it's very important to stick to our brand. So like with Doladira, what is a Doladira song? If we did a Doladira couch, what would that look like? The font we created is a custom Doladira font. Like, It matters greatly to me that we stick to our story world. And I think that someone like you, that's kind of what you are reacting to here. And so when we announce a state, can we create an object that's like, you know, so we had a boot for Tennessee, a cowboy boot, and then the stitching was in the iconography of the Doladira bottle, like the Doladira shape. So we have a lot of fun doing that. And that's kind of what's in it for me, because, you know, I'm not like a spirits industry stalwart. I don't get off on like, you know, a lot of people go into brands, to spirit brands, thinking that it's quite like, and it can be like a lucrative like business. That's not really like my skin in the game. I really want to continue doing this and for people like you to like love the story of Dola and to you know, to really feel attached to it and enjoy following along.
Well, you got me. I mean, I'm your people. Did you guys make a Spotify playlist for Doladira?
Yeah. So Mia Moretti, a friend of ours, we just launched in California, and we had a nice little LA party, a little soiree, and she did on Spotify. There's a Mia Moretti, a Doladira playlist. So you should check it out. It's great. It's all Italian.
Oh, I'm gonna
not maybe all Italian, but like 90% Italian tunes, a lot from the 80s.
I'm looking at it. I'm looking for it right now. Mia
Moretti, or even if you just put Doladira, I think it probably should come up.
Do you think that because you're from Montreal in Canada, you innately gravitated towards the Alps and the cold weather? And the Alpine.
I go deeper than that. I gravitate because next week, January 9th is my birthday, and I'm a Capricorn that I truly believe that I'm a winter baby. And not only a winter baby, but Capricorn is a mountain goat. And it's like, it's like stubborn. And I do believe in astrology. So yeah, 1000%. I believe that. I love winter. I don't like being hot. I don't like being uncomfortable. I actually get quite nervous around heat. It makes me anxious. Yeah, but I mean, look, just for all of the listeners right now, when we're talking heat, we're talking Italian heat. Like, I'm nervous at 35 yes. Celsius plus, like 25, 30 degrees, great. But I find these summers are getting so intense. And if you've ever been summer, July, August in Milan, basically for those who are listening, all of the heat from Africa comes up the continent of Italy, and then it stops at the Alps. The Alps act as a huge wall. So you have this stagnant kind of heat that you've never felt without, and there's no fresh air.
You're like being in a petri dish, because you have like at least in Rome, we have the coast. I mean, I can't imagine.
You have hills. Rome is much cooler than Milan in the summer.
Exactly. Milan is like, Rome is stifling. Milan, I could not imagine being in Milan in the summertime. I don't go to Milan. And I try just to go south, further south in the summer.
Yeah. So, you know, I love Milan, especially, you know, I don't love the summers, but we go to Canada when we can, through the summers. But you know, it's foggy in the winter. It's beautiful. It's very nostalgic. It's romantic. It's a bit buttoned up. So it's a perfect city for me. I love living here.
Where do you like to go skiing in Italy?
Still Alta Badia, still Cortina. I do love to go to Cervinia. I'm not a Courmayeur fan.
I think it's really cute, I have to say.
Yeah, sure. It's cute, but it's like all Milanese. It's all people from here who are there.
By the way, I would think with the, is it the Olympics are in 2026?
Yeah, Cortina.
That's going to be a lot of fun for Dolodira, I would think.
Well, we're on it. We're already working on it.
I mean, I would think that it's like, that would go hand in hand, Dolodira, Olympics, and Cortina. I feel like that's like the perfect alchemy right there.
Yeah, we're definitely working on it. I do have another book coming out also about Northern Italy. It's called Alta Italia. It is not written yet. It is photographed. The recipes are there, but as you can tell, it's been a bit busy recently. So I haven't been able to finish this book, but I am working on it and it will come out before the Olympics too. And it is all about Northern Italy and how it's really its own planet and what it means to drive from Genova to Friuli, essentially.
Oh, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and the best hotels and where you can eat and drink and independent hotels and what the story of Northern Italy for me really, really is.
Wow, I'm really looking forward to that as well. Excuse me for a second. I'm drinking apple juice because I'm an apple juice nut and I cannot wait to be like in the north and that's like my favorite thing. I love the apple juice in the north. I am not the biggest. I'm a slow appreciator of alpine cuisine because I find it a little heavier for me.
Sure.
But then you find certain things and you're like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. You know, I mean, and what you were saying about the Rifugi, I think that's the thing. Like, that's one of those little secrets that my husband's like, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody how great it is to be in the mountains in Italy and go for like 10 euro and eat amazingly, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I agree, but unfortunately, you know, the secret's out. I think Elon Musk bought a house in Alta Badia. It's like, I mean, there is, you know, there is an Aman now.
I know. Yeah.
So it is, I mean, Cortina has always, you know, been the queen of the Dolomites, bringing in international people. But for sure, I mean, look, like also the Alps near Bergamo are amazing. There's places like Bormio, Livigno to go to that are really unexplored all through Aosta. You know, La Tuile is great.
That's where I learned how to ski was in La Tuile.
Okay.
And I think also the fact that, you know, Hannibal came through there with his elephants is kind of crazy too.
If this episode leaves you thirsting for more, you can keep up with Dolodira at dolodira.com and on Instagram at Dolodira. Fancy another drink? On Ciao Bella, you'll find conversations with Italy's top bartenders, including Patrick Pistolesi of Drink Kong, and coming soon, Tommaso Cecca of Milan's historic Camparino. Cin cin! Cin cin, Meredith and Dolodira. Thanks for making this episode happen. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Ciao Bella. The editor of Ciao Bella is Mastro. Production manager is Jenna Spray. If you're new to Ciao Bella, take a peek at ciaobella.co, our all-encompassing Italy-focused website, where you'll find insider insight on contemporary Italy. And sign up for our newsletter for new episodes and articles. Follow me on Instagram at Erica Firpo, and follow Ciao Bella on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. Leave us a rating or comment. Ciao, ciao.